But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is in good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, typically when we look at these verses, and I pulled these out just a few short weeks ago when we looked at our service and our daily worship and our daily examples to other people, that's the very lesson we pull out of those verses, that we're to be an example. And we lead by being an example. But what I want to look at this morning is something that calls us to be different, calls us to be special, that we are called to be the light in the dark and the salt in this world. We are called to stand out when everyone else blends in. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. What does it mean to be different in this world for Christ? What does it mean when everyone else is choosing to do one thing, we choose to do the other? And we choose to do what's right, and we choose to do what's best. And not for our own glorification, as we see in these verses, but that so other men can maybe see our good works, and in turn they can glorify our Father in heaven. That what does it mean to have integrity, to be that light, to be that character, to be that light shining in the darkness? That's what we're going to focus on this morning. A few years ago, there was a study put out by Harvard Business Review. And they stated that to be successful in any business or any position in this world, you had to follow 5 steps to build integrity. It doesn't matter what position you hold. It doesn't matter if you're still in school, if you're in the workplace. It doesn't matter if you're retired. It doesn't matter where you are in life. If you want to be successful, whether that's in your business or just with people in general, everyone needs to follow the 5 basic steps of building character and building integrity. And here's what they said that we need to do. They said, first, we need to understand what character and integrity are. Step 2 is choose a set of rules, morals, or principles that you believe will lead to a happy, satisfying, and righteous life and a better world. Number 3 is look at the choices you have made in your past and observe how much you have or have not lived by the principles you've chosen to live by. Number 4 is decide what you must change in your behavior to align your life more closely to what you believe. And number 5, be conscious every day of the decisions you make, however big or small, and how close they bring you to being the person you really want to become. If you look at those 5 steps, does that not describe what the Bible teaches about trying to be who we should be as Christians? To choose a set of morals, to choose a livelihood, to live by that livelihood, to make decisions that focus on who we really want to be in this world. And look at these steps again. When we talk about what it means to lead with integrity, first it says, the first step was understand what character and integrity are. And look at what it says here. These are the difference between the two ideas of character and integrity. Character is the sum qualities shown in a person or group, moral or ethical strength. That is, who makes you, what makes you, you? Your character is what makes you, you. It's the qualities that you show as a person. Or even if we were to take that a step farther, the qualities that we show as a group, maybe as a child of God. We're going with the clicker? Okay. And so character there shows what makes you, you. Who you are. Your qualities in a person or group, or that moral, or what moral qualities do you have? What ethics do you have? Now, character defines you and should guide your actions. And then you look at integrity there. It's a steadfast adherence to that moral or ethical code. So, character is who you are. Who are you? If someone were to have to describe you, we talked about this at the manor this morning in our manor service. If someone were to have to describe you, how would they describe who you are? How would they describe Kevin? How would they describe Dwight, Wayne, I mean, we can go through this room. How would you be described? That's your character. That's who you are, your qualities, your morals, your ethics. Your integrity is, do you follow your morals, your ethics? Do you hold fast? Let me put this in kind of terms we use. If you say you're a Christian, that's our morals and our ethics, right? Do you act like a Christian? If someone says, I go to Marion Street Church of Christ, can we automatically, by them saying, I'm a Christian at Marion Street Church of Christ, can we assume certain things about them that they are steadfast in a moral and ethical code? That is, they follow Christ. They want to follow Christ. They want to be at services worshiping their Christ. You know, these two definitions here are so closely related. Because we all have someone we want to be. We all have an ideal set of qualities that we want to live up to. But the real question we need to ask ourselves is, when things get tough, when no one else is watching, are we the person that we know we want to be? That's integrity. Integrity can simply be summed up by doing the right thing for the right reason, even when no one is watching. What would you do in certain situations, even when no one is watching? Your integrity is holding fast to your character. But if you notice, what the second thing they brought up about this was the idea, choose a set of rules. Once you know what character is, then you need to decide what your character is going to be. Choose a set of rules, morals, or principles you believe will lead to a happy, satisfying, and righteous life. That is, in order to have integrity, you need to have the rules or the standards to live by. And what we see in this world so many times is so many people, they choose to live by their own rules. They choose to live by their own set of standards. They say, if it's not my way, then I don't want to do it. And so many people don't realize that they are so far away from maybe the person they want to be because they've decided to live by the world's set of standards or the world's rules. And it doesn't take long before people start realizing they won't get very far on their own. What you and I need to do today, if we're gonna really serve God and raise the standard in our service like we've talked about, and worship God the way He's meant to be worshipped, lead people to Christ the way we are meant to lead, if we're really going to raise the standard, we have to make a choice today of who we are going to be. Am I going to be somebody that is going to stand for Christ in every single situation, even when no one is looking, maybe even when the community is looking? Or am I going to be somebody that chooses to live by the standards of this world? We have to choose. If we want to build our integrity and our leadership and our morals, we have to choose the set of rules. And isn't this essentially what the Bible teaches? Look at what Joshua says in Joshua 24. He says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers are on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we love to take that last part of the verse, and we love to stitch it on pillows, paint it on walls. It's kind of become a motto for Christian households. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But we forget about the other part of that verse, which he says, you have to make a choice one way or the other. You cannot choose to serve God and the gods of this world. And I think for the most part, Christians today, we don't worship gods of this world like maybe what's shown here. Because we all believe in God. I think we're all God-fearing people in this building this morning. But maybe we choose to worship the gods of money, of attention, of selfishness, of fame, of a promotion, whatever it is. And so we will do anything to get ahead in life. We will do anything to get my foot in the door. We will do anything for our children. Fill in the blank. And what starts to happen is we start compromising our character and our integrity because instead of serving God, well, I will do anything to do whatever I want to do, whether it's the job or promotion or kids or whatever it is. But Joshua says, listen, you have to make a choice. There's no one side of the fence or the other. There's no serving the gods of the world and serving the God that has led you out of Egypt. He says, make your choice this day whom you will serve. Make it today. You know, there is a basic human instinct that tells us there is something greater than ourselves in this universe. Most people will attribute that to some sort of god. Thousands of gods have been worshipped, and thousand more godlike things have been worshipped in this world, like we've already talked about, like money or fame or fortune, whatever it is. But when I look at this God, when I'm choosing a set of rules or morals or principles to live by, when I read this book that is the Bible, I don't look at it as a list of rules of things we can and can't do, but I look at the lifestyle on how to gain eternal life. That if I really want to lead myself to a happy, satisfying, and righteous life, it's going to be by the standard that God has put in place. It's going to be by the rules and the morals and the principles that God has told us to live by. I'm not saying this life is going to be easy when we live by these morals, but I am going to say that we have a God who has promised us an abundant life in John chapter 10, an eternal life in John chapter 3. He has sent His Son to forgive us of our sins and make us live in righteousness, as we talked about in our Lord's Supper talk and our scripture reading. No other God has been able to do that but our God. And so choose yourselves this day whom you will serve. But that list that we read at the beginning, it says, choose the set of rules and morals that you want to live by. It says, then you have to look back. Look at the choices you have made in your past and observe how much you have not lived by those principles. What does that sound like to you? Doesn't that sound like repentance? Doesn't it sound exactly like what Paul talks about? It says, listen, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that sin equals death. And so what should we do instead? Well, once we look back at the choices we've made, we've observed that we haven't been living by the principles that God has set in place, it says you need to do something about that. Well, let's be honest. We all have things in our past we're not proud of. We all have skeletons in our closet. When we look at what character and integrity are, I think 100% of us in this room this morning would much rather be defined by maybe the character of ourselves now than maybe 20 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 40, 50 years ago. I don't want people to remember me like I was in high school or college. I want them to remember me now. That's what a lot of people say. But that's part of the process. If we're going to build integrity, we're going to lead with integrity, we have to look at those choices. And we all have things maybe we're not proud of. We all have mistakes that we've made. God knows I have not been perfect in this life. But part of that is being able to put those things behind us. Knowing that we haven't already obtained, as Paul talks about in the book of Philippians, but we press on towards the goal. Be the new man that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 6. You've been crucified with Christ. After you've been buried in the waters of baptism, you rise up. And what the next thing says is you have to decide. Once you look at those past mistakes, you have to decide what you must change. You have to decide that you need to change your behavior to align your life more closely with what you believe in. That's exactly what the Bible calls us to do. So what we need to ask ourselves is, do I continue to live my way, or do I start living God's way? Am I going to live my way by my own thoughts and my own actions? Am I going to live the world's standards, or am I going to live God's standards? We come to this fork in the road. And it's exactly like Matthew talks about in Matthew chapter 7. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. That is, choose a path. Once we realize the choices we've made in life are not what we should be making, he says you have to decide to change your behavior. We have to decide to become something better. No longer living for my way, but now we're living for God's way, the narrow way. And then, lastly, it says that we need to be conscious of every day. Every day, be conscious of the decisions we make. That is, once we decide to lifestyle. We have to live it every single day. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, He said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." That daily take up the cross. Christ was taking his cross just one day. One day, Christ took his cross. And he's asking us every single day to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. That is, every day we have to be aware of the decisions we make. Every day, we make a choice to follow Christ. And every day, we are faced with decisions to derail us in those choices. The question that we are asking ourselves this morning is, what would you do? That's how the world defines building integrity, building character. It's exactly what the Bible defines building integrity and building character as. Being somebody that you weren't before, but wanting to better yourself. Wanting to further ourselves. Living by a standard. Living by a moral code. Living by this ethical code that we have been given by the Word of God. Now the question is, how do we live that integrity? And how do we lead that integrity? You know, we've been focusing this whole on raising the standard. And I thought what we could do today is just simply all ask ourselves, who do I want to be? Who do you want to be? There's a little poem about, again, I used this at the manor this morning, but there's a little poem about, you know, when you die and you have a funeral, what happens are there little printout is made, and it typically has your picture on it. And then there's two dates on the front of that little program. The date you were born and the date you die. And typically what happens with those dates is people just look at it and they say, "Wow, I didn't know that person was that old," right? They were born when? But in between those two dates, there's something else. There's a little dash, a little hyphen. And that little hyphen is your life. That's everything you lived right there. Between the day you were born and the day you died, your hyphen is your life. And typically the funeral service, the eulogies given and memories are given and all these things describing the life of whoever it was that has passed away. And we remember all the good things, and we remember all the fun stories, and we remember all those things. And we say, this person was moral and upright and all these things. Now, have you ever had to go to a funeral when you couldn't find one good thing to say about the person? Fortunately, I've never had to preach one of those funerals. But you talk to some preachers. I remember I got a call from a young preacher friend of mine and said, "I got to preach a funeral about somebody who just wasn't a good guy. What do I say?" Do we want a preacher one day who's preaching your funeral, my funeral, to call a buddy and say, "What do I say about this person? Yeah, they were a Christian, but they didn't live it. What do I say to the family who wants to hear something good, but I can't find anything? What do I say to the family that wants to hear that their father, their mother, their husband, their wife, their mother, their father, whatever it was, led a good life, but really all they did was just sit in a pew one time a week?" That hyphen defines our whole life. And our whole life is defined by our character, that is who we are and who we decided to be. And that hyphen is defined by our integrity. That is, did I stand firm in who I decided to be? And I think most of us are here this morning because we decided to follow Christ. We decided to take up our cross, to deny ourselves and follow Him. Now, can someone, when looking at me, Kevin, can they say, "That's somebody who's living that"? If this describes our character, I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to choose to live by God's set of standards, and I'm going to try every day to live those standards. I'm going to be conscious every day of the decision about me. Can someone say that about you? I'm going to leave us with three things. That if we're going to be successful, not only in the kingdom of God, but just in the kingdom, we're going to lead with integrity. Look at the three things that I think we need to do here. One is we need to hold ourselves to a higher standard. I think more and more people are coming across this idea that they don't have to hold themselves to a standard that has been put in place. You see more and more students in school that if rules are given in school, if rules, well, they just choose not to follow them. And when they don't follow the rules, mom and dad get mad at who? The teacher. Because those rules don't apply to my child. And we do that with the Bible, that there's a standard that has been put in place. And I think it's time we hold ourselves to a higher standard. That is God's standard. And instead of trying to lower God's standard to where we are or where we think it should be, we raise ourselves up to that standard. And we say, if this is what God expects from me, then I better do it. Just like we talked about in some of those things, we have to decide this day who we will serve. Is it the gods and the things of this world, or is it the God that gave us His Word and what He expects from us? And we hold ourselves to a higher standard. That is, that so we don't stray from it. We have to live that standard. Even when no one is looking, we live this standard. Because this is who we are. And this is who we believe we should be. And so when we see things being done that aren't right, we fix it. When we see someone that needs help, we help them. We serve the way God wants us to serve. We worship the way God wants us to worship. We lead the way God wants us to lead. We raise our home the way God wants us to raise our home. We live His standard. Even when no one is looking. I think it's interesting. You know, this Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I love those chapters. They're three of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And I love how it starts with the Beatitudes, that is giving us attributes that we should live by. And then it goes into directly, you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Notice that he says you need to let your light shine, but the glory goes to God. And really, the whole rest of the Sermon on the Mount is living by the standard God has set in place. In fact, almost the whole rest of 5, there's these "you have heard" statements where Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said you should be doing this. Well, now I say to you, you have heard you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But now I say to you, you bless those who persecute." What he's giving is a new standard. He's saying, you've heard it one way. I'm asking you to live a different way. You live the standard that I am giving you. And it's no wonder why the people at the very end of in Matthew chapter 7, it says that they left and they were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority. Because he said, here's the standard. It's my standard and I expect you to live by it. And he goes on into chapter 6 and he says, we don't do things to be seen by men. Although he did just tell us to let men see it, but that's not why we're doing it. We're doing it to give glory to God. But he says, you don't pray. When you pray, go up to your room. Even when no one is looking, this is who you should be. Someone who prays to God, speaks to God. We don't do things like the Pharisees, stand on the street corners and shout our prayers. He says, you live by the standard that I have put in place and you do it. He goes into, if you're going to fast, you fast to be seen by God. Don't paint your faces and don't try to make it look like you're fasting like the Pharisees do. He says, you be who you are and let God see it. That is, if you have a standard to live by, that is God's standard, you live that standard. But more importantly, as you see here on the screen already, that we should also help people reach that standard. You got to love autocorrect, right? Read that standard. That is, reach that standard. We have to help people reach the standard that God has put in place. That's been really our whole topic of discussion this whole year. That if we're going to raise ourselves to the standard that God has given, start with us. and the character and integrity that we have, but also it has to then go to other people, to serve other people, to serve God, to serve people outside of these walls, to worship God, to live that worship each and every day so that men can see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. And we've made this distinction before as well, that true leadership, the definition of true leadership is to serve, is to live by the standard God has put in place and serve other people and help other people. I want to close this morning. I want you to look at the book of Proverbs with me. Proverbs chapter 11. I want you to read, starting in verse 1. Proverbs 11, verse 1. It says, "Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them." I want you to think about those verses. Look at the things that he pulls out here. First, he brings up in verse 3 our word integrity, right? The integrity, that is who you are, the standard you're living by, of the upright, that will guide them. That is, you have your morals, you have your rules, you have your ethics, live by them, that will guide you through life. But the perversity, some of your verses might say the duplicity, that is the double-mindedness, choosing to live one way but not living it, says that will destroy them. But he brings up other things in verses 1 and 2. He says, "Dishonest scales are abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight." That is, are you really being honest with the people around you? Back then, this is how they weighed out measurements and payments. You would put it on a scale. Put your payment on a scale. If it weighed a certain amount, then that's what you owed them. So what vendors would do is they would unbalance the scales a little bit to make it where you had to put more of your money on until the scale reached where it needed to reach in order for you to pay. Is that character? Dishonesty, is that in our character? Or are we being honest? Are we being just? He says a just weight is His delight. That is, it goes much farther than just are we taking the money that's owed to us, or are we asking for more? That is, no. Is our integrity showing somebody that is going to be honest in their dealings, that is going to be just? In verse 2, "When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom." That is your character somebody who's humble or someone who's prideful? Because the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. "To thine own self be true." How many of us could say that we've honestly been true to ourselves? We've made a decision to follow God. We've made a decision to be here this morning. We've made a decision to live our lives for Christ, to lead other people to Christ. And how many of us can say that we've honestly led the life that we chose to live so long ago? If you were faced with a dilemma this morning, and that dilemma is, give up your past, give up the things that you love doing so much in this world, because we might know that they're wrong or there's temptations or sin involved, and you get to gain Christ and a life for Christ, what would you do? Would you choose Christ simply because you knew the cameras were looking? Because people are watching? Or would you do the right thing simply because it's the right thing to do? I think all of us here are aware the right thing to do is follow Christ. Deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow Him. What would you do? Your character and integrity will make that decision. So who are you today? Who will you choose this day, not only to serve, but who will you choose to be? If you need to respond to the gospel, don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait until we've already reached the gates of heaven to find out that maybe our character really wasn't quite what it needs to be. Our integrity was not up to what it should be. We weren't living what we ought to live. Don't wait until it's too late. Make the decision now. Choose God today, and you can do that. Come forward as we stand and as we sing.